Welcome to the Fantasy Football Podcast Extraordinaire. This is episode 2, right?
Maybe okay. 3. Depends how we chop this up.
Yeah, we'll see.
Welcome. For round 2.
Episode number to be determined.
So yeah, this one, we're just going to go into our bold predictions. We did this last year, but we did it kind of late, so we wanted to do it just right off the bat this year before the season even started. And we'll touch back in on these later on and see how we did. But keep in mind, these are bold. I didn't want to do anything easy, me personally. I don't know what these guys have for their bold predictions, but mine are pretty bold, I would say. Anyone prefer who starts, or should I throw my first one out there right away?
You know what? Go ahead, Kyle. Throw it out there.
Okay. So my first one is that the Chiefs dynasty is over, for now. I think they might have a resurgence, but I think that division has gotten way more competitive. I do not think they're going to have an easy street this year. I don't even think they're going to make the playoffs this year. I think Denver's winning that division, and I think the Chargers are also going to get a spot out of that division. And I think because those guys are going to be improved and take games off the Chiefs, I think the Chiefs are getting it. I think they've looked worse and worse over a year. Mahomes hasn't looked that great. I still think he's great, but I don't think he's the clear-cut best quarterback in the NFL like so many people say. He had fantastic seasons with Tyreek Hill, and since he left, he has not had a fantastic season. He's had good seasons, but nothing fantastic. Kelsey's getting older. Their defense is getting older, and they've been relying heavily on their defense, but that roster is just not getting any younger, and I think this might be the end for them for a while. I think Mahomes is good enough that they'll have a resurgence once they get some new players in there, but I don't think it's happening this season. Curious what your all's thoughts are, because
I'm sure most people
have Chiefs at least in the playoffs.
I'm going to jump in because I was flirting with that idea, actually, when we came up with this idea for bold predictions. I'm like, what are the chances Kansas City just doesn't make the playoffs this year? Like, they just fall off completely. And I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility for all the reasons that Kyle just stated. Like,
they squeaked out so many wins last year.
They did.
Like, barely won a lot of those games last year. And some of them were to the stupidest shit. Just like, oh, a dude fucking fumbles on the snap to fucking get a game-winning 20-yard field goal, and the dude just fumbles the ball, and then the Chiefs magically win. I mean, that happened once. There were at least two other games where it's like they were dead against not good teams, and the teams just somehow the Chiefs just magically won those games. At least three of those last year, and even the games they did play, like, I get it, they looked good in the playoffs, but in the Super Bowl, holy shit, did they look pathetic? Like,
yeah,
just pathetic.
The Eagles crushed them.
Like, I don't care what the final score was, the Eagles beat them by 30 points.
Yeah.
Like, that was a fucking ass-whipping.
Yeah, the Eagles dominated every facet of that game.
Yeah.
That game was not close.
I mean, starters don't get pulled in Super Bowls very often, and the Eagles fucking did that. And they probably could have done it in the third quarter.
Yeah.
They waited till the fourth, but they probably could have done it in the third and been fine.
No, I think the Chargers are a playoff team. I think the Broncos are a playoff team. The Raiders are trash. But, you can logically make the argument that Kansas City might not make the playoffs this year.
I like to say it's like, this is what drafting Patrick Mahomes last year does to a motherfucker. Like, you just go like, oh, that's over, man. I watched it last year in fantasy. I can't handle it anymore.
Between all my leagues, I've drafted him often enough, and I've drafted Kelsey often enough, and I've drafted enough Chiefs players often enough that I've watched so many of their games, and I've watched them. I'm like, this team doesn't look great. They just don't look great. They don't look like a Super Bowl team. I mean, honestly, most of the time, they didn't even look like a playoff team, to be perfectly honest. So I think it's coming to an end.
I think what you saw last year was an elite defense with an elite quarterback, but not much else in between. And I think they both were able to scrap together enough wins to keep that team afloat. I think the team's going to be healthier this year. I think it's a pretty hot take. It's a pretty bold take. I understand the teams behind them are getting a little better. I actually really like the Chargers. Don't know about the Broncos as much, but the Chargers I really like. But I don't see it. That's bold. I like it, though.
I mean, Bo Nix is fantastic. Sean Payton's their coach. They got, I can't remember who their running back is now. They have a couple good wide receivers there. I mean, and their defense is also good. I think the Broncos are winning that division. And I think the Chargers are good enough to get a second spot. And I just don't see three teams coming out of that division.
Broncos have Harvey and Dobbins at running back.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I think is a great 1-2 punch.
Mm-hmm. So Bonix doesn't even have to be that fantastic. I mean, Sean Payton's always had a fantastic 1-2 punch throughout his whole fucking career. So, I mean, I foresee that continuing. You couple that with a good defense and a good young quarterback, I think they're going to win. Like I said, I think they're winning that division. I think the Chargers are good enough to also get into the playoffs. And I don't know where that... It doesn't mean the Chiefs haven't lost their division in probably 10 years. So, I mean...
I think pretty much all of Mahomes' career,
the,
yeah.
The odds of them not making the playoffs even, nonetheless, winning their division is crazy. But I could foresee it.
I like it.
It's bold, but it's...
I love it.
I'm calling it now.
I love it.
Who wants to go next?
Well, I'll go next. My first bold prediction isn't nearly that bold. And yes, I realize that this dude is on my team, but it's the reason why I drafted him. I think Jaden Daniels is going to be the number one overall fantasy player this year as far as points scored. I think he's... I don't know. I believe it. I believe in Jaden Daniels.
I mean, I've heard the dude works his balls off. So he's got the attitude and the work ethic. You know, he grinds it. I mean, he does the work to be as good as he is. But I would say we've seen this so many times in the past where a rookie phenom comes on, and maybe not this strong. I mean, just last year, C.J. Stroud, everyone was like, he's the next legit big thing. And this next year he comes back, and I'm not saying C.J. Stroud's bad. I think C.J. Stroud's a great quarterback, but I don't know if it's... I mean, it's so hard, especially once teams have a year of tape. They kind of can go all the way back and study, like, they can study the losses and see, like, what really tripped this guy up, and they can focus on that. And I think it's hard for a second-year quarterback to realize, like, oh, they figured this thing out about me. I need to work around it. So to say he's going to be the number one quarterback... I mean, you're talking number one fantasy scoring?
I think he's going to be the number one overall fantasy scorer.
Okay.
I mean, basically the number one quarterback is always going
to be. Yeah, I mean, it's always going to be a quarterback. Right, so you think he'll outdo Josh Allen?
I think he's going to outdo Josh Allen. I think he's going to outdo Jalen Hurts. I think he's going to outdo Joe Burrow.
I could see him being top five, but I don't see him outpacing Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, just with the way fantasy scoring... I mean, he is the same archetype, though. I mean, he's a little less flashy, though.
He's a little bit more like... He likes to hit... He goes through his reads more. He likes to hit, you know, players in stride in a pass. He's not going to look to run first, which is kind of nice about him, being that he is a little bit more steady. But I also think that kind of hurts him in fantasy, because he's not... You know, Lamar is like 50-yard touchdown or 40-yard run, right? So it's like he's always just getting huge boom plays. Where Daniels is more like... He kind of just, like, chops you up with short passes, a little bit of run here and there. He just takes, like, the best play available every time. He's a real smart quarterback. He understands the game well. I just think, like, kind of what Kyle's saying is that I think defenses are going to have a little bit more tape on him. At the end of the year, he kind of had a lucky streak against some poor defenses. I mean, look at the Lions playoff game. Like, we weren't even fielding players that we even had on the team for more than a week at that game. So I think he kind of got a little bit of boost at the end of the year for having some good performances against bad teams. And then he get kind of crushed against the Eagles, who was probably one of the healthy defenses in that final couple teams last year in the NFC. I think it's a pretty bold prediction. I think saying he's going to outpace some of those other quarterbacks because of their more high-value plays that they go for, I think he, being a little bit more reserved, isn't going to be able to catch that. So I think it's bold. Yeah. I think it's good.
It's definitely bold. How often does a second-year quarterback be the number one scoring quarterback?
I think Mahomes, he has a very good...
I'm going to say Mahomes is probably the only one. But he threw 50 fucking touchdowns this season. I mean, that was insanity.
I think Jaden Daniels will lead the Commanders in rushing.
That would be a way to get there. that would be the way to do it. The Aaron Rodgers special from like year two.
I look at the rest of their offense, and I think it's all going to be passing game. And the running game, I think, is going to come from Jaden Daniels.
That's the thing. Like, how long can they keep it going? Like, their offense is so productive, but how long can you keep it going with, like, not much talent? Like, they have Scary Terry. They brought in Samuel, who kind of looked cooked.
Didn't they try that once with RG3? And it lasted for about 2 years.
Well, RG3 couldn't also stay healthy, but...
Well, if you're going to be the lead... The team's leading rusher as the quarterback, that's what happens. I mean, you don't want to be the leading rusher as a quarterback. That's not...
Let's hope it's more Lamar Jackson and less RG3.
Well, there's always a guy. Like, Rodgers used to do that a lot early in his career because the Packers really had good running backs. He would always be, like, leading the NFL or leading the Packers in rushing at, like, 540 yards because they just have, like, a stable
them amongst, like, everyone. Five guys.
I think that's kind of what the
I get what you're saying.
Washington situation is going to be. I think that's kind of where he's going at. Is, like, he will probably outpace everyone because he's going to get the most, like, option at it. And then he's going to get, like, what, 500-600 yards probably and a couple touchdowns. Like, yeah, I think that's where he gets it. Mm-hmm. That's how he gets number one. But I think he needs to be probably close to double digits in touchdowns rushing to get it. I don't know if he's got that.
That's bold. All right.
All right.
Me.
Jim, number one.
So I was having a hard time not hinting towards some of these when I was doing the drafting because I kind of use individual same players.
Here. Yep.
Ladd McConkey. I think he's going to lead the NFL in receiving and catches.
You play so receptions?
Receptions and yards.
Okay.
And yards.
I think he's in a great situation where he's going to be a heel-centric receiver because there's really no one else on the Chargers to throw to. I think he's just going to consume almost everything. He is kind of like a Steve Smith clone where he is more of like that slot prototype. He's got great route running. He's quick. He's fast. Great hands. But like Steve Smith, and what made Steve Smith so great, he can go deep, but he can also pinpoint the ball in the air. And it's just kind of like, even like Amon-Ra St. Brown, what he does. He kind of plays in a very similar role as that. And I think those guys, once they are heliocentric in the sense like there's no one else really around them, they consume so many targets. I think he's just going to get a bunch of like behind the line of scrimmage type catches. And then he's also going to just be like that like chain moving receiver. So I think he's just going to get up to like, you know, 120 catches, we'll say like 1,700 yards. I don't know if he's going to get a lot of touchdowns, but those two numbers I think are going to be really high for him. I think he's going to have an incredible year too.
My biggest fear for that would be that they brought Keenan Allen back. And I know he's older, but Keenan Allen, I mean, he's just been fantastic through his career. And he was honestly pretty great last year, even on the Bears' disorganized fucking shit show that they were last year. Keenan Allen was still good. So I don't think that Keenan Allen has fallen off yet. He does get hurt a lot. So I guess there is that factor. But I think with Keenan Allen there, I think Keenan Allen still demands targets. And he's so good that you can't not target him. And he's kind of the same thing. Like, you throw the ball to Keenan Allen, he's catching the ball. He'll run his route exactly as he's supposed to. So if it's a well-designed play, people will be open from a pick or whatever it might be, you know. And I think they have the kind of coach that is not going to not use someone as good as Keenan Allen has been. And it's still the same quarterback that Keenan Allen left 2 years ago. When did he play for the Bears? For 1 year, 2 years?
Yeah,
just one
yeah,
season. And he's back. And, I mean, Herbert loved him. He was... I think Keenan Allen was like the number three wide receiver 2 years ago when he last played on the Chargers. So that would worry me for your. I just think Keenan Allen will eat too much of his production. I think Ladd's good, but I think Keenan Allen is also just too good to have a dominant kind of wide receiver on the team when you have two guys that are that good.
Yeah, but Cooper Kupp did. There was other guys on the team too, right?
That's true.
They mean,
but when Cooper Kupp was there, he didn't have Puka yet, though. I don't know who else was really there at the time. I mean,
they always had Cooks. They had Cooks for a long time, and then they had Robert Woods. So I don't know if that mm-hmm. was. I think the same year he went off, Robert Woods was there, who was also kind of a guy who had taken a lot of short catches.
Kind of the same thing too, older guy who was just really good. Yeah.
So I think there's always going to be other guys. I just think Ladd McConkey is just going to be the alpha there, and he's going to siphon so many targets.
You're thinking the Chargers are passing for like 4,500 yards this year? Then
I don't necessarily think they're necessarily passing for 4,500 yards. Like I said, I think he's going to get a lot of like short catches. So I think he's going to get a lot of catches, and he's going to accumulate all yards because I think he's just going to get a lot of work. Like he's. What is that? I think the percentage is like 29% or something. Like, what are those top receivers get? He's going to be at the high percentage of like just looks and targets on the year. So I think it's just going to be accumulation. He's not going to have crazy like yak, or he's not going to have crazy yards per catch. It's just going to be constant. Because again, we're talking about Harbaugh. The guy wants to play defense, run down your throat, and just pick up first downs and just methodically move down the field. McConkey fits that perfect. He's going to get a lot of attention. And he did it at the end of last year. Wasn't he getting, like, you know, 10 catches, 140 yards and a touchdown at the end of last year? It was just, like, every game he was just getting the ball peppered to him. I think they realized they had something there. Again, I think he's like Amon-Ra St. Brown, or if you want to go back to, like, Steve Smith, that's what I'm thinking.
When I drafted for Mike's team at the beginning of last year, I loved McConkey because, everything coming out of Chargers camp was McConkey. Like, they weren't talking about anyone else that they drafted. It was just McConkey. And now, his biggest his biggest competition for catches is Keenan Allen. He's old. He's not going to play 17 games, I don't think.
And they released him once, right? Or didn't re-sign him. So, I mean, yeah. Sorry, like, they moved on.
Yeah. They've got Will Disley at tight end. He's not going to eat any targets, I don't think. I think he's more going to be a blocker. And then what? Quentin Johnston?
He's terrible.
The receiver that could have been.
I don't know. And then Harris.
If he didn't drop every fucking pass, Quentin Johnston could be somebody, but...
So I guess he can't catch. He just runs really fast.
The Packers should bring him over to our team. He would fit right in.
That's your prototype.
Yeah.
No, I don't have the Chargers schedule in front of me. So, honestly, McConkey is the guy. He's going to get all the targets in San Diego. Oh my God, they're not San Diego anymore.
LA.
No longer a whale's vagina, unfortunately.
I almost said Washington Redskins, so I mean, I caught myself. Which is also taboo in this world now.
I don't think I'm tough. I'm debating whether or not that's a bold prediction or not, because if Ladd McConkey,
like it.
I love it. I do.
I mean, he's going to lead the league in receptions and yards. Not that he's going to be good. I think we can all agree.
I actually think that's a pretty safe, bold prediction, because I could see him definitely leading in yards and receptions, but not touchdowns, because they're going to run the football.
I like that you didn't take one or the other. You took yards and receptions.
Yeah. Well, I feel like receptions was too easy, because
Like there's a bet in there somewhere.
I'm always down for
Well, I mean, we can bet on these.
I don't want to bet
on bold predictions. They're meant to be bold.
Yeah,
that's true. Okay.
But like, I wouldn't bet on it. But it's a bold prediction. Like, I want it. I want it to be bold.
I crank my heat up a little beach one.
Yeah.
That was kind of like just an appetizer.
That was the feeler one. Okay. Yeah. So Heaps like it. I didn't like it as much, but... I gotta write all these down too. Remind me to write these down so I have them for the end of the season. We can go back and check on them. But I'll go into my. We're each doing three of these, so I'll go into my second one. My second one is Jordan Love's getting the MVP this season.
Woo!
Yeah, pretty bold. But here's my case. We've acquired our first wide receiver first round pick since ever in my lifetime, I believe. I mean, Packers don't do it. They finally did it. It's a late pick, but Matthew Golden. And everything around camp is Matthew Golden's fantastic. And I know the caveat to that is Matthew Golden's getting covered by our cornerbacks, which are not great. And our pass rushers, you know, he doesn't have to worry about getting hit by pass rushers when you're practicing. You're the red shirt guy. No one's tackling the quarterback in practice. But everyone, I mean, players, media, everyone that sees him, fucking loves him. They say Matthew Golden is fantastic. I think we finally have a wide receiver one, and I think that helps Jordan Love a lot. I mean, I think it helps to have the go-to guy in the go-to situations, and he has not had that so far in his career, and that makes a big difference. Another thing that I'm going to throw on there is part of this is because we signed Micah Parsons, and I think I kind of mentioned it when we were talking about Micah Parsons in the previous episode, but I think having Micah Parsons on your defense allows LaFleur to play call as if we have an elite fucking defense that will stop the opposing team if Jordan Love makes a mistake. I think part of the end of last season with Jordan Love was we couldn't afford those kind of mistakes. I know we did have a pretty good defense, but all our games were fucking tight. Like, we were still allowing teams to score. And I think when you have a Micah Parsons on your defense where it's like, we'll get pressure, we can get fumbles, we can make the quarterback throw picks, or we can just force three and outs. That allows you to be more aggressive. It allows you to say, Jordan Love, if you're not 100% sure, but you're 80% sure this will be okay, just fucking throw it and take the gamble. We can be super aggressive on offense because our defense, I think, has moved into like an elite kind of category this year. And I just think that allows you to... Yeah, this allows you to be more aggressive. Allows you to take more chances, and that, coupled with what we saw from Jordan Love when he was kind of doing that at the end of two seasons ago, and what we saw, like, a lot of those throws were like, that was almost picked, but it wasn't. And it was an awesome fucking throw, and it was a touchdown. We saw that so often, and now last year, kind of, a lot of them shifted more towards, oops, that was a pick, oops, that was a pick. I think it allows you to go back to, like, what made him so fucking great that first time around, because you have that defense to kind of, like, backstop you if you do fuck it up.
I like this prediction. I don't love it. I think you're a year away. But I do echo pretty much everything you say. I think LeFleur's got to be licking his chops, because if adding Parsons to this defense makes them truly elite, then yeah, like you said, LeFleur's going to be going, dude, we can just sling this ball. We can do whatever the hell we want on offense because we know our defense has our back. So, and if the offense can do their job, that's going to just, it's, I don't know. I think Green Bay has the potential to be great. I don't necessarily know if they can do it year one. I don't know. We'll see. But also, like, on the other hand, you know, maybe say it takes them 4 to 6 weeks just to get rolling. I don't know. I could see Green Bay being super hot at the end of the season, going on a run like they do in 2010. I don't know. We'll see. I think, yeah. I don't know if Love can do it yet this year, but I think another year with all the same pieces, because I can't really think of too many players that are that vital that have contracts up at the end of this year.
For the Packers?
Yeah, at least anybody too super important.
I think Dubs and Watson, we would have to re-sign.
Meh.
But I don't know if we're going to. We probably let them both walk.
They probably don't need to.
There might be some O-line, too.
So I think this is more crazy than the Kansas City Chiefs one. You pretty much were saying the whole time you were making excuses for Love and, like, how bad his receiver situation is and, like, how could he do this? And, like, we got one receiver now. You need to have Golden be, like,
Golden
Jefferson rookie year. He's going to have to be 1,500 yards, 10-plus touchdowns. You need Dobbs to be Donald Driver 2.0. Like, they need to be – that's how good, like, their stats have to be for Love to be an MVP. Like, he's going to have a crazy, crazy season, and those guys are going to have to get him there, or Kraft's going to have to just be, like, Travis Kelce. Like, you're going to have someone else help him get there. And, like, when you have a better defense, you typically don't expand on your offense. You pretty much want to keep things where you keep the game score close, don't make mistakes, and you win, unless, you know, you're just like Tom Brady or Peyton Manning. If he gets there and he's MVP, then that's different. I think there's just too many question marks on the receiving core. I think Kraft is really probably one of the only really consistent receivers other than Matthew Golden, but he's still a rookie, so we don't know what we're dealing with there. So I think there's a lot that needs to go right for Love to be an MVP of the season. Like I said, I think you're kind of making excuses for him even already. Like, even last year, like, the reason they toned down the offense because he was making too many mistakes. They realized to win games, they had to cut back on the mistakes, let Josh Jacobs run the offense, so then there's not a lot of turnovers because our defense is good enough to withstand, you know, the other team's offense for a whole game. And they won off of that. None of that was from Love. That was the defense. That was Josh Jacobs, the real MVP of the team.
Yes, but you want Josh Jacobs for the final stretch. So the more you can avoid overly relying on him in the warm season, the more likely he is to be healthy and ready to roll for the cold season, for the playoffs, when you really fucking need the guy. So I think early in the season, we might just be fucking slinging it. Say, fuck it, let's sling it. We got a new wide receiver. Tucker Kraft looks great. Musgrave still looks great, too. I mean, we got two tight ends that are pretty good. The rest of the receivers, I don't know. That's still a shakeout thing. And also, like, it also goes back to the Mike Parsons thing, but, like, we all have our thoughts on Jordan Love, but there's no way the Packers do this unless they're like, Jordan Love's fucking good and we can win Super Bowls with him. They have to believe that. Otherwise, why sign a pass rusher to $47 million a year for 4 years unless you're like, this guy's fucking good enough to win us some Super Bowls?
Because Goody could be like, if I don't make a move now, my job is gone in a week.
Dude, everyone loves Goody. I don't think Goody's worried about his job.
I know we have not mentioned this yet.
I think it's
with all the things he's done? No.
I know we have not mentioned this yet, but
our first round draft sucked, but our second and third round draft picks have been good. Like, our offseason acquisitions.
There was talk before they went on that run that the whole thing was going to get blown up last year. I mean, it probably wasn't going to happen, but the rumors were already coming, right? They just got hot at the end of the year, and then things kind of cooled off on Goody and LaFleur. Even LaFleur was getting it, you know, too.
Don't forget that Mark Murphy was just replaced by Ed Policy, and there were a lot of rumblings going around that Policy wanted to make a splash as he was taking the team over. So you never know.
That's how I look at this move. We'll get back into it.
So you don't think it was a faith in Jordan Love? You think it was Ed Policy wanted to do something?
I think it's let's do something big and crazy to make the fans happy. I think this might be a situation where they're like, we don't know how good this is going to be, but this is going to be big and flashy, and everyone's going to love it for a while.
True.
I do think that they have enough faith in Jordan Love, though, to that Jordan Love can win them a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I believe the faith is there.
Just like Brock Purdy is good enough to win a Super Bowl, or Jalen Hurts is good enough to win a Super Bowl. Did those guys win MVP? No, but they're always way up there in voting, and they could have won MVP.
I also do want to throw...
could win MVP if they make that kind of run.
I do want to mention Josh Allen's stats last year as the MVP. 3,731 yards, 28 touchdowns, 6 picks.
Yeah.
That seems...
He also does a lot more on the ground than Love.
I don't think Jordan Love's ever done worse than that in his career.
And he also had the argument that he hasn't got one yet. Because if you go look at Lamar Jackson's stats, that's the stat guy last year, right? This was more of the narrative side of it. And the narrative was that Allen had that 4-game stretch where he was otherworldly. And it was right before voting. And that, I think, pushed it over away from him. But it was also like, this guy needs an MVP. He should have probably had one or two by now.
Yeah.
I think that's also
that's not the case anymore. So Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, they all have their MVPs already. So there's no, like, this guy needs to get one this year. So the Packers are the number one seed. They have 14 wins. They're the number one seed in the NFC. They have 14 wins. Jordan Love threw for, I don't know, let's say 4,200 yards and, I don't know, 35 touchdowns. Like, that might be enough.
You'd have to have
that might be enough.
Less than five picks.
Oftentimes, like, there's not that next guy. Like, who the fuck do we give it? There are years where it's like, who do we give it to? Like, we give it to this guy because he's the number one seed. Like, they're all, like, close to each other.
I don't
see the talent around him. Even if he's good enough, I don't even see the talent. Because, look at Matt Ryan's MVP season. Why did he get MVP that year? And not being one of the top guys in the league? Maybe being, like, in, like, the bottom half of the top.
He had those two fucking running backs that he dumped it off to all fucking.
And who else? Julio Jones.
Yeah.
You need talent to be an MVP if you're not Patrick Mahomes, you're not Josh Allen, you're not Lamar Jackson. I don't think he is in Green Bay. That does give him a boost, I think, with the voting and stuff. But I think he needs to have an otherworldly season. It's a lot without having even the talent around him to get there. That's why I think so. Even if you like Love, I think saying the MVP season for him is actually very, very aggressive.
I mean, I think Purdy would have won it 2 years ago if he didn't blow that one game so bad to the Ravens at the end of the season. Like, I think that was Purdy's MVP to win. I don't think Purdy's that great.
He wasn't having that great of a season.
Yeah, but I think narrative would have got him. I think narrative would have got him.
And then just kind of the end of the season, all of a sudden he blows the game to the Ravens, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's Lamar Jackson's MVP now. It's like, damn, one game. You fucking blew your fucking MVP case in one game because you lost to the team that was, like, kind of the next level of maybe he'll get the MVP.
And there's always underwhelming MVP seasons like that. So that does happen from time to time. But let's say if the
everyone's going to a quarterback, so you're only fighting against 32 people.
Let's just say, look at Lamar Jackson's stats last season. Look at his stats last season. Have you looked him up? Like, just look at his. I know he doesn't throw for a lot of yards, but look at it's probably under, like, around 4,000 yards. Probably, like, 35 plus touchdown passes. He's single digit interceptions. And how many rushing yards and touchdowns did he have? Because I bet you he'll do that again. So, like, let's put that, like, those numbers as, like, a baseline.
Lamar Jackson's last season was insane. Okay. He should have had the MVP, hands down.
Oh, yeah,
easily. What's Lamar Jackson doing? He did, like, almost 5,000.
That's what I said. The Josh Allen is
clear. He had, like, 3 picks last year. So he had, like, an Aaron Rodgers kind of passing season last year.
God, yeah, Josh Allen's stats were pedestrian compared to Lamar last year.
Yeah.
4,172 yards, 41 touchdowns, 4 picks.
Yeah, that's like an Aaron Rodgers passing
season. With 915 rushing yards.
Yeah, don't even count the rushing yards. That's like an Aaron Rodgers kind of MVP season.
It's over 5,000 yards.
Even if he regresses a little bit. We'll drop him to, like, 34 touchdowns, 6 picks, 700 yards on the ground, and 4,000 passing yards. If that's his season next year and they're still a playoff team, how does Love beat that?
Maybe.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think.
Well, Love would have to throw for, like, 4,800 yards and.
Matthew Golden, 40, Justin
45
Jefferson.
Touchdowns.
Green Bay's not going to be at their best if Love has to put up those kind of numbers. They're going to be at their best if Josh Jacobs goes for 1,600 yards and gets 15 touchdowns.
I think your defensive point,
too,
also makes that even worse because the defenses are going to be even
But it makes it more bold.
But they don't want to use Josh Jacobs heavily until later in the season.
Because he's the real MVP, and they got to take the ball.
I'm not disagreeing. But
Marshawn Lloyd's
got to
stay freaking healthy.
A running back is never going to win MVP. It just ain't going to happen. if Christian McCaffrey couldn't win it 2 years ago and Saquon couldn't win it last year, a running back's never going to win MVP again, period. Yeah. That's never going to happen again. It's a quarterback award. That's it. So you're only competing against 32 players, essentially, and really probably 10 players because the bottom half is just out. You know those guys aren't going to win it. So, I mean, it's really, it's like, it's 10 guys you got to beat out.
Yeah.
And Lamar Jackson's one of them, and that's not easy. But it's possible. It's bold. I get it. It's bold.
It's bolder than your first one, which I thought was pretty bold. So I think it's a crazy bold pick, but that's what this is for. I think it's fun. Yeah. I'm just
supposed to be bold.
Yeah, I'm having fun. I like it.
If it was the obvious, he's the MVP favorite. Saying Lamar Jackson's going to win MVP next year is not a bold pick.
Yeah,
that's just saying. Boy. Oh,
I have to argue. If you're going to make the bold pick, we got to have the discussion.
Oh, I agree.
That's what this is all about.
Who's going next? We going clockwise? Counterclockwise still.
Yeah. So my second bold prediction is that I think Ashton Jeanty is going to be the next Trent Richardson.
Caveat that with who Trent Richardson is for our listeners. Okay. Not everyone pays that much attention. Not everyone probably played fantasy football. What was that, 10 years ago?
About 10 years ago.
Yeah.
That's so about
when our league started.
Okay,
so most people probably don't know who he is.
I don't remember exactly when he played in the NFL, but he was a stud running back coming out of the University of Alabama. Had won, I think, at least one national championship, if not two. Consensus number one running back. I think he went number three to the Colts that year.
Mm-hmm.
And turned out he was trash. Just absolute trash. I mean, I think his biggest highlight was he missed a hole that his offense had created, like the size of a Mack truck. And he instead decided to juke left straight into traffic and lost like 4 yards on the play. I just as high as Ashton Jeanty is going, I don't see it. I could conceivably feel like he could be outside the top 20 in running backs. I don't think the Raiders are going to be any good. I think he doesn't have much of an offensive line in front of him. I think they're going to be able to key in on him, and I don't think anybody's scared of the Raiders passing game. I don't see it from Ashton Jeanty. It's not going to happen. I think he's...
Yeah. I don't even really disagree. I'm kind of in the same boat. I didn't touch Ashton Jeanty anywhere in my drafts. And I don't know if... what was his name? Trent Williams? That's who you compared him to?
Trent Richardson.
Yeah. I remember now. He was kind of, he was, when I first started playing fantasy football, he was kind of like the big name of, he's going to be somebody. And then the next year, after he sucked, it's like, nah, he's so good, he has to be somebody. And then he sucked again. And then I think he's pretty much out of the NFL.
I think he had an okay rookie year, but it was like one of those rookie years where he had a lot of yards, a lot of carries, and a lot of touchdowns, but not like a good yards per carry.
Sure.
It was like good enough.
It was like a volume
next thing. Year, he's going to be great. And like he went really early the following year, like top five.
Yeah.
And then never was... Like
but he wasn't game. Even on a bad team. I mean,
he's on the Andrew Luck Colts, wasn't he?
Yeah. Like, the team was good, so there was no reason for him to be bad. That's why that's kind of my counter-argument is I don't think you compare him, because I think the difference is Jeanty is going to, a really bad team. I think he is good. He's got the pass-catching chops to, like, be part of the offense all the time. But I just think his team, as far as fantasy goes, yeah, I kind of see him being like that highly touted, probably the best running back in the draft, and maybe one of the most skilled running backs. I think he is skilled. I think he's very good. I just think his team is so bad that you can't. I just don't like the comparison because I think he's good. I just think his team is so bad.
Well, you're saying you don't like
Richardson,
the situation.
Richardson was on a good team.
You like the player, not the situation.
Yeah.
Where he's
and
kind of like saying
fantasy,
the player is going to be
but I mean, I guess as far as fantasy is concerned, like, yeah, he's a highly touted rookie. He's going super high in fantasy, and he's going to be a bust. And I do agree with that part of it. But you can't... From all the years I play fantasy football, it's like running backs on bad teams are bad, regardless of how skilled they are. They're just not going to be good for fantasy because... Your team's not in the red zone often enough. You're not scoring enough points. You can't run the ball when you're already behind by 20. So now we're just fucking passing every play. And I guess he can catch passes, so he can still be on the field, but you're not going for short yardage passes at that point. You're trying to chunk it down the field to catch up. So I kind of agree, but I kind of disagree. I don't know. I'm kind of in the middle there.
Just real quick, for reference, Trent Richardson's rookie season was in 2012. He had... 267 carries for 950 yards for an average of 3.6, which ended up being a career high. So not great. But he did all the 11 touchdowns.
That was it.
So he got a lot of goal line work. Okay.
People had to work to make him a good pick.
But that was
there's,
a good.
There's
that
no
was a
way. Good I don't see Ashton Jeanty hitting those numbers this year.
Yeah, but that was a good offense. So they were on the goal line. So he can get the touchdowns. That's the problem with Andrew Genty is how often are they going to be down there? I mean, I'm sure they'll be down there at least 11 times this season, but he's not getting all of them.
You don't like the player as much. Like, what don't you like about Genty? Like,
yeah,
what's wrong with him?
I guess that's the question. Do you legitimately dislike Genty, or do you think he's going to have, like I said, like
no,
a
similar actually,
fantasy
performance? I personally like Genty from everything I've heard is that he's a good dude. I honestly think he should have probably won the Heisman Trophy. I think he was the best player in college football last year. He's already had the way that he stood in college with his straight upright stance. He's already been told he can't do that anymore.
Really? They actually let Gibbs do that in the NFL. Gibbs started copying that last year.
Because it helps
you get to the line faster.
Because Chip Kelly came out right off the bat and he's like, no, he will not be lining up like that in my offense.
Wow. That's actually kind of interesting because
the first thing I'm like, oh God. Well, first was Chip Kelly. Second was when Chip Kelly said he can't line up like that anymore. It's like, okay.
That's a little disappointing. I'm sure that's not that hard to get out of him because that's more of just like a stance thing. So that probably just gives him like a split. Like,
I feel like I don't know. I will never wish any NFL player ill, no matter what. I just think he's walking into like a cancer situation. I don't see him producing.
I think he's good enough to make something out of it. I don't think the line's going to matter as much. I mean, even Saquon went to a bad Giants team and still put up, like, I think top five. I mean, yeah, there is Trent Richardson in the world, but Trent Richardson had no vision. He was just – I don't know how he even got drafted so high. I think it was a draft where there really wasn't, like, a lot of top-end talent and, like, players like him that just had Heisman on their accolades and things like that. They just kind of got pushed up. So – I'm going to say that Genty's going to be one of the top 10 running backs this year. I like him a lot. I think he's got so much contact balance, some of the best I've ever seen coming out of the draft. Same thing with Bijan. And that's my favorite tribute to a running back. So if he's going to be lead at that, I'm going to put him up as top 10 this year.
Maybe here's what I'm secretly hoping is that he's just going to be so trash at Las Vegas. Vegas, right?
Yeah.
I still keep wanting to say Oakland. He's going to be so bad. The Raiders are going to have to dump him. And Jacob's contract's going to be out, so they can just get another.
It's the Marshawn Lynch strategy, right? Like,
all the old Raiders running backs.
Green Bay can scoop him up on the cheap, and he'll tear it up. Yeah. All right, Jim, I believe it's your second
prediction.
Your
second bold take.
All right, my second one. This one's going to go into my fantasy team. Kenneth Walker will be the number one player in fantasy this year, or at least the number one scoring running back. I think that all he needs to do is stay healthy. I think he's a Le'Veon Bell clone as a runner. Might not be as good of a passer or pass catcher, but I think his style mixes well with, is it Clint Kubiak? Kubiak's son who's over there now
yes.
as the offensive coordinator who yep. runs the zone scheme, offensive line system that was originally made by Shanahan Sr. And that offense... The line has always produced running backs to higher levels than they were before, and they've always took terrible running backs and made them good, and I think you have one of the top, I'm going to say top five talented running backs in the league, and one of the best systems and situations he's been in since he's been in the league, and I think as long as he stays healthy, I think he'll at least be top five, but I'm going to say number one overall in running backs.
Number one overall running back, Kenneth Walker. That is extremely bold.
I will agree that it's bold, but I'm not going to say it's not unrealistic because, yeah, if he can stay healthy, we'll see. I don't know, but they also, Charbonnet is really good, and I feel like he's going to eat into too many of his touches.
I think Charbonnet just gets a lot of empty stats, and I think a lot of that happened when Walker was injured last year. I think Walker is healthy and they're both in the game plan, like Walker will get 70 to 30 almost every time. And like every running back is splitting some carries. So I feel like I'm not that worried about Charbonnet. I think he's more of just an insurance if Walker goes
What down. Happens if Sam Darnold is trash?
Then it doesn't happen. But I think Sam Darnold's going to be good enough. I think that all I need is Sam Darnold to be a little better than what Jordan Love was last year. And I think I'm good. I think that's all I need.
I mean, my thoughts, I have similar thoughts to this as the last one we just did, is I think the player is talented. I think he is, talent-wise, yeah, he's up there. Top five? I don't know, maybe. But top 10 for sure. And could he be number one? Yeah, but I mean, the problem has been injury history. The problem is, I don't know how good the Seahawks are going to be this year. And if you're not good enough, you're not... If your team's not... If your offense isn't good enough, you're not going to have the number one scoring running back. That's part of the problem. Is like, you have to be one of the top at least 10 scoring offenses, I feel like, to be a top... To be the number one scoring running back, like, you just have to be one of the top scoring offenses. Like,
Later, yeah,
look back through history, that's just the way it goes. Like, you can't be that good unless your offense is good enough, because you need to be in scoring position a lot. But if they are, yeah, Kenneth Walker is fantastic. Like, yeah, you watch him play, it's a fucking blast to watch him play. Like you said, he's kind of got that bell kind of thing. Like, he's patient, he waits, he's got the fucking explosiveness. Yeah, he doesn't receive as many catches, but he honestly, last year he did receive a lot more catches last year. They know they can use him for that, and maybe they will use it even more this year. But I do worry that, like, I worry that the coaching staff worries about his injuries, and they do more of a timeshare than you would like, which could also be part of the problem of, if we're just going to go every other drive kind of situation, give Charbonnet a lot of work just because, like, we want to keep Walker fresh. But maybe they won't do that, because I don't know if they think they're, like, a playoff Super Bowl. I mean, playoff maybe, but Super Bowl run, I don't think the Seahawks realistically think that's a thing. So maybe they don't need to, like, save him for the final stretch. I don't know. It's a bold take, but I don't see it. I can't imagine him outscoring Christian McCaffrey if he's healthy. I can't imagine him outscoring Saquon if he's healthy. Bijan, I could see. I don't see any of the other guys I could see him outscoring, but...
So I think Saquon's got the limitations in touchdowns. I think with Walker, the Seahawks offense, like, will be okay. It'll be good enough, and I don't think they have, like... Jason Smith and Jigba. Right? Mm-hmm. I always get him.
Jackson.
He's not really. Jigba. He's more of a
take a drink. of that soda.
So good. He's not really like an end zone threat as a receiver. So I think they're also going to rely on Kenneth Walker more in the red zone than a normal traditional team would, because their receivers now have taken a big hit, especially losing DK Metcalf. They don't really have that big, like, guy can tower over and do the fades. Those teams tend to lean on their running backs more for pitching off small dump passes, or just, you know, run like three times because you're like at the 6 yard line. You're just like, we're just gonna get 3 yards every time and get a touchdown. So I think it's gonna be something like that, where he's gonna get a lot of touchdowns in probably a low scoring team, maybe not like on the top end of a top 10, but, you know, I'll say maybe like bottom 10 in scoring, and then yeah, you can get there.
Okay. I will share this too. Kenneth Walker's yards per attempt last year was only 3.7. 153 carries, 573 yards, but he did get 7 touchdowns. But his games started, he had 15 his rookie year, games played, 15 again his second year, and last year he only played 11.
He also had Schottenheimer as his coach, offensive coordinator for the last 3 years, and I don't think people realize how bad Schottenheimer is.
Like the same Schottenheimer who went to Dallas?
Is he in Dallas now?
Wait, like the head coach? Wait,
offensive coordinator? Not his dad. His dad was the longtime, like, Schottenheimer that was like the coach of the Chargers back in the day.
No, that was Marty.
Yeah, this is Brian.
Okay, who is now the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys?
See, oh my god, I didn't realize that's horrible. He got a head coaching job. I didn't even remember that. I totally forgot about that.
He's now, yeah, Brian.
No, I remember that now. But
head coach of the Cowboys.
You laugh about it, yet you draft Javonte Williams as your starting running back.
Hey, he was the best. I needed a running back at that point, and he was the best available.
He's been laughed at for about 10 years for his running back, like, fits and stuff like that, and, like, his scheme. Like, it's been so awful. Like, that's all he really does is run, but he doesn't, like, mix it up. But, like, everyone says he's way too limited. That's why I like Kubiak, because you get that more, like, modern offense with Kenneth Walker. Oh, my God, I just love the open fields. He's going to make something.
I dig it. It's bold to say he's going to be number one.
That is very bold. I think that is the boldest one so far.
It happens.
Truthfully, I think it is.
How often does a...
I would try.
That's got to be the boldest one so far. How often does, like,
The only way I see that happening is if Charbonnet gets hurt.
And how often does, like,
Walker doesn't?
This is third year?
He's going into his fourth NFL season this year.
But how often does a third or fourth year running back just explode onto the scene like that?
Especially after especially after a big quarterback.
I'm trying to think of one that does that, but it's usually like you come out hot, then you dominate or you don't.
Well, we can like.
I mean, it might. It's probably happened at some point.
It happens every year. There's some guy that comes out of nowhere. But I mean, a lot of his issues have been injuries too, and they haven't been like the same thing over and over. It's like one of those guys who gets injured like fluke, couple injuries for a couple years,
come
and
out of nowhere.
Then it's like, oh, he stays healthy a whole year. Because that's what it really hinges on. He stays healthy. He's probably going to be a top 10.
I mean, I can think of guys who Kamara came out of fucking nowhere. He was just like
he's not yet 25 years old. So he's still young.
Okay. All right. I dig it.
Bold? I don't know.
Bold? Yes.
It's gotta be bold.
It's fine.
We're looking for bold here.
I was gonna take him like in every draft this year. If I played more than one draft, this is the only draft I'm playing this year, or fantasy team I'm playing on this year. If I had five leagues, I'd probably have him all five leagues. I actually wanted to take him before I took Breece Hall. I just figured I'd have a shot at getting him back in the fourth, so I'm like, okay, I'm gonna take Breece Hall and just take the wild card there. But I actually
You got those guys, and it's like I can take him a round early, and I still think it's two rounds later than what they're worth. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's an incredible player.
Okay.
You're getting all psyched on Kenneth Walker now because I'm drafting Tuesday in the same slot you did.
So. That's my favorite pick in the fourth round this year.
I'm gonna throw my last one out there. This is my final one. This one's kind of related to my fantasy team. I think DK Metcalf's going to lead the league in reception touchdowns this season. He's never done it before. I don't think he's even been close. But he's the only wide receiver on the Steelers this year. I think Rodgers is not prime Rodgers anymore, obviously, but I still think he's got something to him. And we've all seen what Rodgers does with his primary wide receiver. He targets the fucking shit out of him. I mean, Garrett Wilson, I say what you want about him. He was a top 10 wide receiver in fantasy last year. He got touchdowns, he got yards, he got a lot of receptions. Some of them for very boom games, but even so, he was still a top 10 wide receiver last year. Devontae Adams for how many fucking years? Jordy Nelson for how many fucking years? Like, if you look at the target share for those teams, Rodgers loves his wide receiver one. He's not like some of these guys who spreads it around to... He spread it around. I mean, he'd have receivers, but like he loves his main guy. And if DK Metcalf can be the main guy and work with Rodgers and like run his routes like he's supposed to, which hopefully he can, I can see him being an absolute fucking monster in the red zone and maybe get like... I mean, how many touchdowns usually is the leading in the league? Like 18 reception touchdowns?
For
not even receiving? Probably like 15 is
I would say average. Or you're talking
if you get over 15, you have a good shot. Every year is different, but like we've had some years where it's been like 18 because of Gronk back in the day.
Yeah.
But most of the time it's 15.
Yeah, I would say 15,
give or take a number.
But I could see him getting 18, and that would lead the league in reception touchdowns. It's probably not as bold as my other two picks, but I needed the third one, and that's why I took DK Metcalf in this draft where I did, even though I already had two wide receivers. I felt like he had fallen far enough. I was like, I got to take this guy because I think he might get a shitload of touchdowns this year.
I like it. We talked about this on draft day, and you kind of had me turn to it a little bit. My only big question of Metcalf and why he isn't as good in the end zone is that he's actually pretty stiff when it comes to like going left and right and turning. That was like his biggest weakness. He's more of like a freight train, just go straight and just blow guy off coverage and get down the field. He doesn't always have the best skill set for shorter end zone catches, but again, you have Rodgers, who's just, even if he's not quite all there athletically anymore, he can still pinpoint the ball in the red zone in the 5-10 yard line, so I'm not really worried about that. So I don't mind this. I think
he's
it could
big.
Easily happen.
DK Metcalf's big, so Rodgers can pinpoint it like, you're taller than the DB. I'm just going to throw it this high, and I hope he fucking catches.
Because they're only going to catch
it. Like I know the DB can't fucking get above you on this one, so I'll just put it where you can catch it and the other guy can't.
DK is probably the most physical one-on-one receiver in the league. He can just body, just on his physique alone, he can just body any defensive back in the league.
If Rodgers still has a deep ball, it's going to look real nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really don't think Rodgers has lost that ability.
Then I think it's going to be a good pairing. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to win most touchdowns on the year, but I mean that still could
reception touchdowns.
I feel like
I think a running back might beat it, but
yeah. I feel like that's such a bold prediction just because of all the question marks surrounding what the hell is Pittsburgh's offense going to look like this year.
DK Metcalf and Aaron Rodgers.
I kind
of
that's
how you get 18 touchdowns. It's those two guys and nobody else.
Bold, very bold prediction, but again, I'm not unrealistic.
The new running back too. I'm kind of banging on their running back. Kind of
up Kyle's all in on Caleb Johnson. Yeah. He's got a hard on for Caleb Johnson.
I mean, if they had a good running back, DK Metcalf and Aaron Rodgers, it can be a good offense. I guess you could say that last year with the Jets with Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, and Aaron Rodgers, and it didn't work out, but maybe this year.
One Johnson drags you all the way down into last place, and now this year the Johnson takes you out.
This year they have a coach that's actually a fucking coach. I hope. Instead of Aaron Rodgers being like, I'm the coach.
I don't think Tomlin's
not putting up with that shit.
Tomlin's like the pairing.
I'm quite sure Aaron Rodgers respects Tomlin. Like, I'm very 100% sure on that. Like, I've seen those guys go shake hands after games when they play each other. Like, those guys have respect for each other. So I know Rodgers respects him. I don't know if Rodgers respected the Jets coach last year. I don't even remember who the fuck it was, but I'm pretty sure he did not respect him. I'm pretty sure he didn't respect
Robert Sala
at the end of his tenure either, and that's kind of why the Packers went to shit for a while there. I think it's why we switched off McCarthy and went with
it's everywhere he's been.
LaFleur.
I think he needs someone like Tomlin to rein him in a little bit. Yeah. I think, especially at this point in his career, I think he needs that.
I think in the last couple years with LaFleur, he respected LaFleur, knew what the fuck he was doing. So it matters. When you're an older quarterback like that, like, you can't just let him have his way all the fucking time. Sometimes you got to reel him in. And I think Tomlin's the guy who can be like, dude, I know what I'm doing.
He's not going to be able to go above the coach here. Like, I'm pretty sure Rodgers could have went to whatever the Jets owner is. I can't think of his name right now. But he could have easily gone to him and just been like, yeah, this is not working. And I think that's exactly what happened. You don't do that in Pittsburgh
over but I don't think that's good for the team if your quarterback's doing that. I think the coach is more equipped and more skilled to doing that kind of thing. And I think in this situation, like, Rodgers can't do that. And I think that's going to be beneficial to Rodgers.
I agree.
In all honesty.
And
DK Metcalf.
This could be almost like the Favre thing.
And Caleb Johnson.
Just as much as it compares to the Favre situation, he goes to the Jets, and it was a bad situation because the Jets team sucked, and then he went to the Vikings, which is a much better running organization. And everyone's like, oh, he's not washed up anymore. There's no reason Rodgers can't do the same thing. And if that happens, Metcalf is a much, much better value than where you got him, which even if he doesn't get the touchdowns, he's going to be one of the top 10 receivers in football.
All right, so we all kind of dig it a little bit.
All right, my number three bold prediction. I got to be honest, this one just happened in the last week, but I genuinely believe the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl this year.
What's your reasoning?
I think they have the best front seven in the NFL now. I don't know. I think their front seven is going to be good enough to the point where Matt LaFleur is going to be able to do whatever the hell he wants on offense, and I think it's going to be awesome to watch. And I think Parsons puts them up over the hump, over Detroit, over Philly, and even Buffalo doesn't scare me at this point. I think Green Bay's linchpin is going to be their offensive line. If they have a top 10, top 5 offensive line, they are going to be the best team in football.
I mean, I'll be the first to respond as a Packer homer, but I like it. I mean, if I had to pick a different team...
Are you trying to, like, pause it? I'm just going to try to play it. Like.
I mean, if I had to pick... If not the Packers, I think it's going to be an AFC team to win the Super Bowl.
So you think they're the best team in the NFC?
I think they're the best team in the NFC. When you go up against the Bills and the Ravens, I mean, those are also really good teams. So get to the Super Bowl, sure. Win the Super Bowl, it's hard. Especially, I mean, those teams are fucking thirsty for one, too. The Bills have never won one. The Ravens haven't won one since... Longer ago than the Packers, right?
No, Flacco.
Yeah, more recently than the Packers.
The Harbaugh Bowl. The Ravens won the Harbaugh Bowl.
Yeah, that's more recent than the Packers have. So the Packers are more thirsty than the fucking Ravens are then. But the Bills...
Well, those teams are older teams that have been close the last couple of years. They're almost like the Celtics were when they won the other year, where it's like, you kind of felt like it was going to happen soon. It was like, maybe it wasn't this year, but one of those years,
But no, I mean, just looking at the team in general, like, I think we have a top five running back. I think we have a... MVP quarterback. I think we have
MVP quarterback.
The MVP quarterback. Oh yeah, the MVP of this season quarterback. Yeah. I think Matthew Golden is gonna be good. I think Tucker Kraft is an elite tight end. I think our front seven, again, I mean, Micah Parsons, Rashawn Gary, and Edgerrin Cooper. I think that makes you an elite front seven.
Who's your defensive line, though?
Our corner, yeah, I mean, not awesome, but...
I hear it's one good really enough. Good player, one elite player, and like...
The biggest concern we have is our cornerbacks. Because, I mean, our safeties are good. Our cornerbacks, they're not good. That's why you have two great pass rushers. Because that makes your cornerbacks look good, in my opinion. I think if you put any cornerback on a team with no pass rush, they're going to be hard fought. Because if, you know, the quarterback has 5 to 10 seconds to throw the ball, someone's going to get fucking open sooner or later. But if the quarterback has 2 to 3 seconds to throw the ball, your cornerbacks are going to look great stat-wise because, shit, they can't complete a pass because they didn't get to finish their route in time. Yeah. I think they're good enough. I mean, if you're looking at overall roster, like positional group strength overall, I mean, I think the Packers are up there with any other team.
I think the only...
Thanks to Micah Parsons, in all honesty.
Jim, you had asked, like, what does their defensive line look like? Well, they've got Devontae Wyatt.
He's okay.
Who's
nice. He's been good.
Yeah.
He's a good first-round pick.
He'll be good enough. They've got Carl Brooks, Colby Wooden as their number two defensive tackle. But then, yeah, obviously your ends are Rashawn Gary and Micah Parsons.
So,
like, yeah. Honestly, all they need Wyatt and Brooks to do at this point is just eat up blocks. Because I think Cooper's going to be one of the best linebackers in the league.
I think Cooper's fantastic.
Yeah.
He looked great in the second half.
I think Cooper's already better than A.J. Hawk ever was. I'll be perfectly honest. Mike, I know you're going to disagree, but fuck yourself. I never liked A.J. Hawk.
So I'm just going to go into it. My pick was the Packers are going to miss the playoffs since this kind of ties in with everything. I do not.
Oh, so we're just jumping into the next.
Wow.
The next.
Well, I'm going to have to respond to
him. Yeah, no, that's fine. That makes sense.
I feel like it's a good time to transition.
Yeah.
I do not think Mike Parsons is as good as people think he is. And I didn't want to ruin too much in the earlier conversation because I actually have a much different opinion. Mike Parsons is a very one-dimensional player. He's an elite pass rusher. But the Cowboys, I think one of the reasons why they decided to trade him is that he's very easy to run at. If you blow him off the line of scrimmage and you have a good running game, you can actually neutralize him in the pass rush.
I've heard he sucks against the run.
It's kind of like the NBA. It's like those guys are great in the offense side, but they can't play defense, and then they win MVP, and it's like, well, they're not even a top five player in the NBA because they literally play one side of the ball, but it's flashy. Parsons is a little bit like that. Incredible pass rusher. Maybe the best pass rusher in the league if you just put him on a tackle and just get to the quarterback. There's probably not a better guy in the league at that. But you also got rid of, I forget your tackle's name that you traded in it, who's probably your best run defender.
Kenny Clark.
So yes, you got rid of your best run defender.
He is definitely one of the league's best run defenders.
The Packers are going to have an amazing pass rush, but as you guys know as Packer fans, if you can't stop the run, it doesn't matter.
I don't know where you're going to stop the run. I think Edgar and Cooper was part of the reason we were okay with
ditching Kenny Clark. I think the linebackers can make up for the running game.
But you just talked about your defensive tackle and your defensive line. That is what makes your linebackers good. They need to take up blocks. If they aren't good, you're going to be able to get a guard on Edgerton Cooper, and it doesn't matter. If a guard's on Edgerton Cooper, he's useless. So you need to have that. Those three defensive linemen are very, very important with the way you have this team built because you have Gary and you have Parsons, who are incredible pass rushers, but they also both have the weakness of being not great run defenders. And you also need to have that middle of your defense be able to be that strength for them. And I don't know. So I think actually from a construction team standpoint, Parsons isn't really what they were missing. Now you have two cornerbacks on that are probably okay, and you have good safety play. So you have kind of like this middle of your field is really good, but I can attack you on the outside, and I can attack you right up the middle. So you're going to get teams that are going to dime and dunk you all the way down the field and neutralize Parsons. I don't know if the defense is going to be that good because you need to have a very strong middle of the field with linebacker play, and I think your corners also aren't going to be good enough to keep teams like the Lions, who can beat you over the top with Porta, with St. Brown. They're going to attack right behind Parsons and Gary. I think that's one of the things that really makes their team a little weaker, and I don't think Love is good. I thought they pulled the offense away from him at the end of last year. I thought they were like, okay, this isn't working. I don't think Love has a problem reading defenses. I just don't think he can throw on time all the time. I think he actually is very good at reading the defenses. I think that's maybe why the Packers are like, hey, this guy, if he puts it together, he's eventually going to be really good, which I agree with. But I think a lot of his, like, oh, he kind of throws 50-50 balls is him just not throwing the ball in pinpoint areas where he's supposed to, and I think they become 50-50 balls, and it's like sometimes he gets really hot because those throws work for 3 weeks, and then he looks terrible for the other 4 weeks because then those same throws, I don't think he's learning, and I think that's why they pulled back the offense. And I think the Parsons trade is Goody trying to save his job.
Damn.
So
that is bold.
That's super bold.
I thought it was pretty good with all the
Packers.
You outdid yourself from your second one. That is the most bold prediction.
I mean, how often in our lifetimes the Packers not make the playoffs? Like, what, 15% of the time? They're always in the fucking playoffs.
Never.
Like, we never miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
And you're saying they're not going to make it this year.
Yeah.
Well, with possibly the best defense we've had.
I think you have very good pieces in certain areas.
So you think our defense is worse this year than last year? By losing Kenny Clark.
I think teams are going to be able to attack you in the middle of the field if they're a good running team. I don't know if every team's going to be able to take advantage of it, but I think like a team like the Lions that has a really good offensive line, has two really good running backs, and then they can attack you over the middle of the field, you're going to have a hard time. Because those corners have to basically cover someone like St. Brown for 2 seconds for your pass rusher to get there, right? I don't think they're going to be able to stop that.
Yeah, but you're also not factoring in, like, Goff sucks. When he's Goff, I didn't finish this thing. Goff sucks when he is pressured.
Yeah.
Like, look at all the games where he embarrasses himself, and look at what's, it's like, he's getting pressured. He's going to get pressured this year, and he is going to fuck up against the Packers. Like, there's no way he's not going to be pressured super early and super often.
You might
and
just pass the ball three times. I am
still genuinely shocked at how dog shit the Montgomery Lions were against the Commanders last year. Like,
got pressured. Goff got pressured, and that's what you get when Goff gets pressured. Like, he does not do well when his O-line does not give him time to do well.
Great in that game. That was just our defense was awful. I think he had one bad interception at that game. That did cost him, but that is Goff.
Didn't he throw 3 picks that game? Like, he,
I think he threw some at the end. I think he threw some near the end. He played well the
win. You're behind so far.
And we got behind. I don't care about that.
That's fine.
There was, like, one in the middle of the game that was like, okay, that was a shitty pass, man. Like, what are you doing? And, yes, I will give you that Goff when he gets rattled, but that's the thing. He doesn't need to get rattled because our team is built.
Let me not argue the Lions part of it. Your take was the Packers aren't going to make the playoffs. But, like, my take, I guess my counter argument to that is, like, look at any team that's, like, gone on deep playoff runs in the last 15 years. Like, there's always, like, it's always good quarterback, good pass rusher. That's, like,
sure.
And look at the last how many Super Bowls. Like, who won it? Oh, yeah.
I'd say it's more elite quarterback.
Well, not even elite. Sometimes they're not elite. Like, I don't think Brock Purdy's elite, but he was in the Super Bowl. But he also had, I mean, he had a great left tackle.
I mean, their team was stacked.
They also had a great pass rusher. I can't remember his name. Bosa. Yeah. They had Bosa. They had Purdy. And they had a great left tackle. So they had a good O-line, a good quarterback, and an elite pass rusher. Like, you need an elite pass rusher to win the Super Bowl nowadays. Like, that's what it seems like to me.
Yeah.
Like, any team that does it. Like, look at how the fucking Eagles
won. Well, that's why they make this trade.
They fucking just railed Patrick Mahomes. And they got embarrassed because they had a great pass rush.
Yeah.
I mean, their guys are young and they're rookies. But, I mean, I can't remember his name. But, yeah, he'll probably be in the Parsons pay grade and whenever he gets the next contract in 3 years. I can't think of the dude's name.
From Philly?
Yeah, that pass rusher they drafted last year.
Carter?
Yeah.
The dude from Georgia?
Yeah.
Well, he was defensive tackle.
He's a defensive tackle. He's like Warren Sapp.
Yeah.
But, yes, he's an incredible pass rusher at that position. He's the best in the league.
He'll get a contract. He came into the league
as a rookie and was, like, the best defensive tackle.
Well, he was supposed to be the number one overall pick. That's how good he was.
That just seems to be the recipe for success in the NFL currently. And that might shift a little bit. Because I do feel like teams are getting more run-focused because teams have gotten so pass rush focused.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they know teams love the pass, and that's how you're winning. So now teams got more pass rush focused. That's kind of how you're winning, by stopping the pass. And now teams are kind of shifting to more like run based. But then the Packers also have the ability to just run the ball too. And I see no way they don't make the playoffs.
But here's the thing.
They never don't make the playoffs.
You couldn't even make an argument during your MVP campaign for Love that he has even good receivers on his team. You have a rookie that you guys are hyping up, but you don't know how good he's going to be. And like I told you, I think he has to be Justin Jefferson for Love to be like an MVP candidate. And like, Dobbs is okay. Reed is injured. Who knows what you're going to get out of him?
I think Wicks is good.
Wicks has been an enigma. Like, he's either really good or just dog shit.
Well, he did an interview with him on the offseason, and he said he can catch the ball. So
that's
as long as he does that, he'll be fantastic.
I mean, they're not going to. When is Watson supposed to get back?
I think they're saying he was seeming ahead of schedule. So if we're lucky, maybe after the bye. But our bye is week five, so maybe week six he'll be back.
I don't know. I still have faith that he's good enough to at least
stretch the defense out. Yeah, I mean, he's fast as fuck.
I mean, if Golden ends up being something, then Watson will be nice to have as the number two when he comes back. Just God help us, he stays freaking healthy after he comes back. But having Dobbs and Dobbs and Reed as like three and four, I think they're going to be fine. From a receiver standpoint.
But this is like year three of like all these receivers. We've been hearing the same
thing. Just Dobbs and Watson.
God, I hope Josh Jacobs stays healthy, though.
No, Wicks is only... Well, this will be his third year.
It's pretty much everyone's like a third.
This is the fourth year for Dobbs and Watson.
We've been hearing the same thing for a couple years with the Packers receivers, and they haven't been doing it. I think there's a lot of fans around here that are happy we finally got a receiver. I think Golden's like getting a little hyped up. I understand like good practice stuff you want to hear, that's good. But at the end of the day, like... camp stuff coming out of teams doesn't matter. Like, we have Tesla going off and looking amazing. Like, I'm excited, but like it's the same thing. It's like, it's camp.
Yeah, but I mean, didn't you have Amon-Ra going off and he looked amazing at one point and you're like, oh shit, he actually is good.
Well, here's the thing. You want it to build up. Is it good? Yeah. He's doing good in OTAs. Awesome. He's doing good in practice leading up to the preseason games. Plays preseason game. He looks great. Okay, we're hearing now it's NFL season and he has one or two good games in the first game or two. And it's like, okay, then this guy might be legit. If Golden does that, that's different. But I don't know. I didn't really like him as a prospect. I think there's a little bit of overhype on him just because of a narrative of the Packers never having a receiver drafted early. I think that's building into a lot of the hype. I think the Parsons thing's building the hype. I think Packers fans are over the moon right now.
Oh,
we are. I don't see the team as good as I think people think it is. I would have kept the picks, in my opinion, because I think the team needs to be built up around certain areas first before they go and make a big splash. But you have maybe the best pass rusher in the league. Maybe you just make that deal. But again, we talked about earlier, $47 million for him too. There's a lot that I don't like about it.
So what do you think? Just the Lions? That's the only team out of the NFC North going to the playoffs then?
I would take the Vikings over the Packers.
Are you serious?
Absolutely.
With J.J. McCarthy?
I think they're a better team. I think top to bottom, they're a better team than the Packers. They were last year.
Their offensive line?
I think J.J. McCarthy is going to be an upgrade. Offensive line.
You think J.J. McCarthy's better than Jordan Love?
I can't tell you.
They're receiving core. I'll give them that.
I think they saw what they saw,
and they saw what Darnold did. And if they wanted to move on that means they feel like J.J. McCarthy is at least equal or better than Darnold, I think. And I think Darnold was as good, if not better, than Love last season. I would probably say he's better than
Kevin O'Connell's coach of the year for a reason. I think he's fantastic. And I think J.J. McCarthy could be great just because Justin Jefferson's.
I'll take that bet.
So elite.
J.J. McCarthy will outproduce Love.
What are we talking? Fantasy football points?
Let's do that right now.
I'll take that bet, sure.
Yeah.
You got the MVP? Okay, I'll do it.
What are we betting on?
I don't know, but I think they just have way better talent on their offense. I don't think he even has to be as good as Love. Their receiving corps is stacked. J.J. McCarthy just got to be like, oh, where's Justin? Oh, there he is. Touchdown.
Stare him down and throw it at him anyway.
That's why Love can't be MVP. Who can he rely on?
Golden and Kraft is
he needs to be Justin Jefferson again.
He's gonna rely on Josh Jacobs.
I think Kraft is fantastic though. I think Kraft is gonna be the next elite tight end that people are talking about. I mean, tight ends don't usually come on year one, and Kraft didn't, and you know it's year three, but he came on pretty strong last year, and I think he's gonna get better. Like it's not often that someone does like what LaPorta did in his rookie season. Like, usually tight ends come on in year three or four. Yeah, that's when they start breaking out.
The highest positions, if not the highest positions.
And I mean, I guess Brock Bowers did it last year. Honestly, so maybe it's more common
it's not
now. But
the realm of possibility.
Well, here's the thing.
I think Kraft is elite, and I think that does help a lot. I mean, I think people underrate like how important it is to have a fucking really good tight end that you can throw the ball to and block and just be on the field.
Arguably. As of right now, he's better.
Maybe.
I think Kraft has to give you one more year. Hawkinson's had like 900 yards and like 11 touchdowns before.
See, that's pretty good. Kraft led tight ends in yards after the catch last year. He's so fucking good, dude.
See, and Rob Domofsky, the Green Bay's beat writer on ESPN, still says that Musgrave is better than Kraft.
I think Kraft's really good. I think Kraft's really good. I don't know.
I agree.
I would call him elite, or like, I don't think he's incredible, but I think he's a really steady player.
I think after this year, we might be calling him elite, though. I think Kraft is. I mean, I watched every Packer game. You probably did too. You might have. I don't know. But I mean, when Kraft got the ball, dude, he's
really good at the catch. He fucking
bodies guys. He jukes guys.
Like, he's elite fuck, in dude, that category. Insane. He is absolutely.
It's crazy category. When it's like a dude's charged in and he just like backsteps for 1 second. Like
it has a little bit juke, of baby dude. Gronk to it.
Like how do you juke a guy like that when you're that fucking massive of a human being?
He's fun to watch. I like him.
And he does do it.
I just don't. I don't see it in the.
I don't think the Packers are going to make the playoffs.
I don't see the receiving core being good. I don't see their offense being good. And I don't know if Parsons...
You get your laptop. How many times have the Packers not made the playoffs since, I don't know, the year 2000?
Four?
Rodgers' first year, Rodgers' last year, and then the Rodgers injury year. Love's never not made the playoffs so far. But we had some... There'd be a few Favre years in there, too, but I assume we were in the playoffs most of those years.
You're pretty much in every year.
Green Bay has missed the playoffs 5 times since 2000.
Yeah, so in 25 years, we missed it 5 times total.
Yeah.
So, 1 out of every 5 years.
Yeah.
Starting today. This is year 1.
This is the year we miss it?
Yep.
They won. So, they made the playoffs 20 out of the last 25 years and only have one Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, we don't do good in the playoffs, but we always make the playoffs.
I'll say one thing, though. Of all the Packer fans I talked to, I thought more people were going to be happy like you guys are. Most of the people I talked to have actually been still down on the Packers and even slightly down on the Parsons.
After the Micah Parsons trade?
Yeah. Really? I was kind of shocked. I thought everyone was going to be over the moon, so I really wanted to come in with that because I still felt that before the Parsons. I was like, I'm pretty sure they're going to like talk up the Packers, and I feel like I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I didn't like last year. I still think they took the offense away from Love because they don't trust him. And I think they really is like, okay, we can win like this. And again, I think the defense will be good. And I think they're going to be solid. But I think they're going to be like a 50 or 500, you know, team. I think they also might take and lose all the games to Vikings and the Lions. So that's already right there, 4 losses.
No way.
Ain't no way we're losing. It happened last year. 1-5 in the division.
And I think,
yeah, there ain't no way that's happening again. It's never happened before and it will never happen again. I mean, it's happened before, but not in our lifetimes. Or not in our
back-to-back
conscious lifetimes.
Anyways. Back-to-back. Kevin O'Connell out-coached LaFleur every game. The Lions are just more talented top to bottom.
Yeah, but I mean, I think our team got better this offseason. Apparently, you don't think. But I think the Lions got worse this offseason. You lost both your coordinators. You lost your O-line. That was your biggest strength. I think your team got worse.
I think saying lost our line is a little aggressive.
I mean, I guess on the flip side, our defense massively improved this year just because everyone's not injured.
Before our defense got injured last year, we had the number 2 offense and number 2 defense in the league.
Yeah.
And it was like week 8 of the season, and that's when the defense died. Yeah. And then we went down to like probably like the bottom half of the league, if not even the late 30s, mm-hmm. as our defense. Our defense is going to be healthy now. We got our Micah Parsons back, who we didn't have for more than like 5 games last season. And remember what people talked about him last season? He was
on pace incredible. For like, what, 28 sacks last season?
Aiden Hutchinson is a monster.
He really is. That's not a guy who's one-dimensional. He plays the run just as well as the pass. That's why like when you compare someone like Hutchinson and Parsons, I'm sure people will probably put Parsons above Hutchinson as a talent. I don't think he's as diversified as
yeah, but they're going to have to pay Hutchinson like $60 million to keep
Parsons him. Parsons has the best sack record of anyone in his first 3 years.
Well, like, he's an incredible pass rusher.
This is the record. No one's done better than him.
But he's pretty much one-dimensional, which
is... That's all you need. Even when you're so good at the one dimension.
You guys have literally lost like all your big playoff games over the last 15 years because you can't stop the run. Remember this. You guys are Packer fans.
But we never had the pass rush.
But we barely lose.
We may lose playoff games, but they're close.
Oh no, those Niner games against Kaepernick, he kind of just ran up the score.
That one was bad.
Yeah, Kaepernick.
Well, most of them are close. Even last year. I mean, we played the Eagles closer than any other team last year in the playoffs.
True. Yeah, Green Bay was.
And the fucking refs cheated us off the fucking opening kickoff, so we should have won that game. The Eagles shouldn't even been in the Super Bowl. That's a bunch of bullshit.
Much less
winning. Everyone saw him fucking catch that fucking kickoff. Any sports commentator in the world is like, yeah, he fucking caught it. The
refs take like, nah, last he didn't year's playoff it. Appearance because you're not going to see it this year.
Well.
No, I don't know. Green Bay's getting a bye in the second round.
Yeah, we don't have to win our first round this year.
Yeah.
We got the MVP.
Road to the Super Bowl and the NFC is going through Lambeau this year.
We're going to have the MVP and the Defensive Player of the Year on our team this year. There's no way we're not fucking
Jared Goff and Aiden
Hutchinson making the playoffs.
It's going to be 40 below for the NFC Championship game. Josh Jacobs is going to lead the with like 85 yards and 2 touchdowns.
That's the other thing too. Like, where's the depth on the team? You lose Jacobs. You just told us like the number two guy is not even playing.
Hey, we got Emmanuel Wilson.
He'll be healthy by the time Jacobs gets hurt.
Like, that's the other thing too. Marshawn to be Lloyd's a good team, you have to have depth. Like, I feel like the Packers don't have a lot of depth. Like, they don't have depth in their secondary.
We got depth on our wide receiver room.
No one's good though. That's the thing. Like, none of these guys are.
We have one good wide receiver and a bunch of
one good running back, one good receiver. Maybe have two good tight ends.
Tell me a team where that's not the case, though. I mean, that's always the case.
The Lions?
Yeah, you have one good wide receiver and then a bunch of guys.
J-Mo was like a 1,000-yard receiver off of like 50 catches last season.
Yeah.
We have Jahmyr Gibbs. We have Montgomery. We have LaPorta. Right, our backup tight end was offered a starting contract, and we just matched it. So we basically have two starters at tight end.
Sounds like a pretty soft team to me.
Uh-huh. Tesla like was our Matthew Golden, who's been going off in camp, where we had to trade Tim Patrick because our number three guy was actually just beat out by our third-round pick.
By a Tesla.
A lot of this was brought about by having the best or the second-best O-line in the league. Like, you guys aren't going to have that this year. I'm honestly really curious how the Lions do this year without having such a dominant O-line.
I'm really, really scared about...
I'm quite concerned.
Yeah.
Because I think that hurts your run game, and I think that hurts Goff and his passing game a lot. Because, I mean, you lost some players, you couldn't pay them, and then... What, your center got injured?
It's mostly,
right?
No, Frank Ragnall retired. That's the big retired, one. Frank Ragnall retiring, I wasn't actually worried about the guards as much. Because I actually, like I said, we had a rookie last year
who looked really good,
and everyone kind of knew he was going to take the starting spot. He was probably better than the guy that was starting at the end of the year. So like we're like, okay, we're good there. Glasgow has played center before, so he moved from guard to center, and he's definitely going to be a downgrade on Frank. And then our right guard now is a rookie, a second-round pick, but they seem to like him a lot. So, yeah, I do think it brings, like I said, I think our floor is probably middle of the pack. I don't think we'll get worse than that because we have two of the best tackles in the league. And I think our other guard, our younger guard, is pretty good. But, yeah, it's going to be a problem. But, again, the way to beat that isn't Micah Parsons. The way to beat that is inside pass rush. No, he's not going to be in there as much.
You can't run every fucking play. You got to pass the ball.
Well, no, you have to attack the weakness. To attack that weakness, you need like an under tackle or someone that can take on and, you know, get through two blocks. Normally, guards and tackle or centers are going to take on heavier guys than Parsons. If Parsons going in the middle, then that's probably like a 1 minute play in a time when they're trying to do some kind of stunt.
Parsons might be better than you think at run blocking too. I mean, he hasn't
because he's better at run blocking.
He's never been asked to. I mean, he has been asked to, but with a shitty coach, what are you gonna do?
Green Bay can't be too worried about their run defense if they're just willing to let Kenny Clark go.
I don't think they are
because Devontae Wyatt's he's getting Cooper another year. Maybe Carl Brooks can be good enough. Who knows?
Yeah. We'll see. So what was the bet, though? You said Vikings will finish over the Packers?
No, I said J.J. McCarthy will outpace Love in fantasy points. Because we'll do a fantasy thing.
What's that bet going to be? What's it for? You got to bet on something. I assume we're just taking,
I will
take the Packers over the line. We're doing the same jersey bet,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. I found my jerseys, too. Yeah, okay. They're in the car, actually. Get that T.J. Well,
so what will the bet be for J.J. McCarthy outpaces Jordan Love? Gotta be some. You gotta figure something out.
Well, I guess we're all involved.
It should be during the draft.
Yeah. Or we have like the jersey thing though for us. Because we could do the jersey thing.
Yeah.
But now, I guess that one would pay because it's like a Vikings thing. So we can't do a jersey thing. Let's do a punishment then.
Punishment
at the draft.
I would say like you could take a selfie with the dildo.
That's not a bad idea.
But I feel like that cheapens the loser of the league.
No, I don't want to do anything with the trophy.
Well, how bad do we want to punish ourselves? We could leave it up to a league vote. What do you guys think the punishment
next podcast, we come
so
up with
three. So either Jim will have to do something embarrassing or me and Hibbs will have to do something embarrassing.
Yeah.
Or maybe we just let them decide and they just give options to us and we just pick the one that we like the most.
Yeah, we could do that.
Okay. Have everybody submit ideas and then we could vote on it.
Let's do that.
I mean, Richard had a good one last year. He said...
So listen to the damn podcast, everybody.
The loser had to wear a dress and sit in his driveway for, you know, a few hours. Because he lives on Waldo Boulevard, I believe. So there'd be a lot of traffic.
Yeah, I've seen ones like that before in the middle of a highway. Yeah.
Pull up a sign like, I don't know shit about football. I don't know. Yeah, we'll put it to a league vote, though. That's fine. So yeah, that should wrap her up. This one went pretty long. This one went way longer than I thought it would.
Yeah.
I thought
these, yeah, no kidding.
I thought free bold takes peace would fly by, but we all had a lot to say on all of them. I mean, when you play a bold pick, everyone's got to talk about it, because it's kind of crazy things you're saying. So, yeah, these ones went pretty long. We'll, the goal this year is to have the podcast be like 30 minutes or so, but two of them a week, instead of these hour-long things that you guys just listened to two of, which we do appreciate if you listened.
Yeah, God bless you if you seriously listen to this whole thing.
But yeah, we'll end her there. Thanks everybody again for listening. And we'll end it as we always do with the Jameson Williams quote of the week. Bye now.
Bye.
He's got a preseason one now.
Or not Jameson Williams, Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston quote of the week. I didn't even catch that.
String beans are green beans that look like strings that happen to be beans.